Let's turn to Proverbs 27, verse 8. Proverbs 27, verse 8. Like a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. Let's pray. Lord, we who are blessed most abundantly by you have had homes, and even good homes. We've been instructed in these homes. We've been cared for and nurtured. We've been given a direction to go. We've been taught right and wrong, or so many things take place in our homes. We know all homes are not perfect. None of them are, and some are dysfunctional even. But it's your plan. And Lord, we are reminded as we have a homecoming that we are always to value the family of God and our own families in which you place us. Lord, may your word enter deeply into our hearts in this message, that we would value what Solomon lays out here before us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've noticed this fall in our yard we have the happiest birds in the entire country. There's a bird that parks itself on the holly tree outside my office and has been singing loudly for some time. It's a pretty song. I don't recognize it, but it's a very happy sounding song. There's no minor chords in it even. I'm assuming this is the same bird in the spring that sings Rockin' Robin when the robins hit the yard. Great voice, and it must be a popular singer because there's a lot of birds in the yard. Around, I'm imagining, this bird, because the birds have doing such a good job of singing. I found out one of the neighbors on our street was claiming to have the happiest birds in the country at his house. I had to walk down there and mention to him that it could not be so because we had at our house the happiest birds. So he walked up to my house, I walked down to his house, and we finally reached an agreement. As I've said in the very first statement, we have the happiest birds in the world in our yard. The only thing I can conclude from that is that these singing birds have nests. They have a home, a place to be, a place to go. Sure, when they're singing, they're in branches or bushes or on the power line. But when they're done with that, they have a home. They're good. They have, when they get back, if they have little birds in the nest, they have birds that are happy that the parents have brought worms back to them. And so they chirp, and they're happy. You know, one of the things that we can praise God for, even in nature, you see happy animals. Your dogs get happy. Your cats get happy. Squirrels in our yard play. What do squirrels have to do with their lives? They play. Running around. You get it with birds. Birds singing. Birds happy. I don't care much for worms myself, but they must like it. And it's a pleasure to them. God has given them. Bible says that God feeds them and cares for them. So one of the ways they do that is that they have nests. So for homecoming, I want to focus on this teaching where Solomon, in this proverb, compares birds to men and nests to home. Let me read it again, like a bird that wanders from her nest. So is a man who wanders from his home. My first question about the text was, is it a girl bird? Because it says her nest, but it's most would say its nest, because it's not really matter. So a bird with a nest, a man and his place. Proverbs is an observation of life in this world, in the sight of God, pertaining to the outworking of wisdom and foolishness. If you look really, 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 really hard, I mean, you have to really look for it, but if you look really hard in the world, you can see people acting out foolishness. It's so hard to see, isn't it? And you also, if you look, can see people who are doing things which are wise. That is Proverbs. There's a great deal in Proverbs comparing the wise and the foolish. Some have said Proverbs is an extension of Psalm 1, where there it said, you know, the blessed man and the man who is not blessed. Well, the blessed man is the wise man, and the cursed man is the foolish man. And Proverbs maybe comments on that further. And there's practical advice in Proverbs to children. You know, there was a time when children needed to be instructed. Of course, today we know that children know everything. They're taught through the internet. They're taught through other means. They get together with their friends in the neighborhood, and they discuss the facts of the world situation and world philosophy and things of that nature, and they know everything. But back when the time of Solomon, he had to instruct his son, because his son was at that time part of those children that needed to be taught. And so they were taught. And Proverbs is one of those ways of teaching. And Proverbs paints object lessons. The ant. Go to the ant, you sluggard. If you like to sleep in when you're supposed to get up, well, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So that's the kind of book Proverbs is. I know you're studying it in Sunday school. Our proverb today makes a statement that has no comment explicitly about what Solomon is getting at. It makes the comparison. There's no moral principle push, at least at the beginning. It's easy for us, and I see it a lot. You see something about Jabez, and somebody writes a whole book about a verse about Jabez. You see something else, and somebody will run off, and it doesn't really say all that stuff, but people kind of fluff around it. Well, here it just says that a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. So what is he doing? What about these contrast? What is he wanting to say? Is he speaking of foolish departure from a house like the prodigal? Is he saying someone who strayed from it sinfully or foolishly? Or is he saying it something like a person is unwillingly separated? You know that song? Remember that old, you don't remember the old country song? Some folks think I'm big and home folks think I'm big in Detroit City. From the letters that I write, they think I'm fine. But by day I make the cars, and by night I make the bars. If only they could read between the lines. I want to go home. That's that song. Bobby Bear. Well, so there's some people that want to be home and can't be. Some people who should be home and aren't. So which is it here? The significance of the matter is derived by studying the effect or of the straying. What is it about the bird that is true when it wanders from its nest? And what is it that's true about the man who strays from his home? And what is the situation? Regardless, if he finds himself away from home, what is the significance of that? You know, if you're walking along, you got your best clothes on, you're walking down by the lake, you're enjoying the scenery, and you fall into the lake. And there you are in the lake, and someone comes up and says, how did you get into the lake? At that point, does it matter? You fell in or you jumped in? You're stupid or you had a bad accident. But either way, you're in the lake. Well, once you wander from the nest, once you wander from the home, what is your situation? Regardless of how you got there. This is what he is comparing. I tend to take this in the willful, foolish sense. I believe that when the words stray and wander are used, that what is being said is that he should not have wandered. That there is something to observe in the bird when the bird is away from the nest that is undesirable. And there's something that to observe when a man has strayed from his home that is undesirable, that he should rather be home. If you're straying and wandering, it suggests foolishness. People that stop going to church, usually they do it gradually. They stray, they wander. They move away gradually. So these words give me that impression. Not paying attention to where you're going. You know, if you don't pay attention to where you're going, you can end up in Montana. How did I get here? If you're thinking while you're driving, the car will continue to go. Where am I? I've heard a number of people tell me, I'm paying attention where they're going. They ended up somewhere they didn't mean to be. But this is, I think, the sense here. It's picking a path that resets your priorities in a negative way. You do it on purpose, but what most people want to do is if they stray from where they should be, they want to make it a circumstance beyond their control. They want to say it was pressed upon them, their work schedule or something. That something happened that was external to it. They couldn't have anything to do with it. But in the sight of God, I think is looked upon as a failing. I think this is what the point is here. And why use a bird? Why does Solomon say, like a bird that wanders from its nest? Why that? Well, birds are fragile creatures. And easy to see that if they get away from the nest, they might have danger. We all know from modern science that birds have very light, fragile bones, hollow bones, that make up their body. You know how that came about, right? Let me instruct you. The first birds, obviously, had solid bones, heavier bones. So they're up in the tree. They jump off and land splat on the ground. They do this for 15 generations. Until finally, they determine by natural selection that they need to hollow their bones out. What a wonderful day, that first day, when the first hollowed bone bird evolved from the solid bone birds that were taking place. And, you know, at first there were just some with hollow bones and some with solid bones. And so they're sitting there talking and singing to one another. How is it you're flying and I'm not? And the hollow bone just said, you stupid solid bone bird. So they evolved. According to evolution, you just pick these things up. Our stomach acid has been dealt with through natural processes because for a long time, cavemen would eat and the stomach acid would burn a hole right through their stomach. What are we going to do? Well, through the 15 generations, they got it to where we got it under control now. And other foolishness. God has made birds, and they're fragile. They need to be handled with care. They need to handle themselves with care. But what if we had this contrast? Like a lion wandering from its den. Well, that's a whole different thing. A lion wandering from its den. When I go out, I want it to be like John Wayne leaving the saloon. A man. You say a bird? A bird leaving the nest? That's fragile. That puts us in a whole different line. Like a T-Rex straying from its field. Well, a T-Rex can stray anywhere it wants to. A lion can stray anywhere it wants to. It's still the king of beasts. But a bird straying from the nest is in a place of danger. It's intended to show how fragile we are without a home. How much more prone we are to bad things. The prodigal son viewed home as a hindrance. And it ended up demolishing him. Give me my inheritance, he said to his father. I need to get out of this house so I can live. I need to go somewhere where I can live. And he lived. Boy, he lived. He spent all that money. He had a bunch of friends. And when the money dried up, amazing, isn't it? All the friends dried up. And he didn't need to work, but then he had to work, and he got to work feeding pigs. And then he came to his senses, and he said, you know, I could go home. Even if I'm a hired servant, I can go home. I think that's the contrast here. Our world has attacked the home mercilessly for years. You want a better life, and you want to listen to the world? The world, the first thing the world's going to do is get you out of your home-centered thinking. You can't trust in the home. When we were adopting Sequoia, the whole deal, the DPU higher-ups felt that the home was more dangerous than DPU. Once they left the care of DPU, it was like they were like that. Because if they go home to parents in a family, what are they going to do? Well, the home's the best place. The higher-ups didn't know that as well as they should. So the world wants to make the family conform to what it thinks family should do. You know, if you want to be a real woman in the world, you've got to have a, you know, same life as a man. Everything's got to be the same. We conform. God honors home life. The world is teaching children contrary even to their parents' wishes. We got the most confused children because we got the stupidest adults in world history parenting kids. Same. It's amazing. Not encouraging. Someone predicted, I heard it, and I was working in a warehouse in Minnesota on the radio, a psychic. I was on a country station. I didn't have control of the radio. She said the family would be done with by the year 2000. And I think that was wishful thinking for most of that persuasion. She was wrong, of course. I knew she was at the time. Solomon's message to our society is basically the nest is best. You're number one. I've already asked a number of our young people here. I've asked the girls, at least. I think I talked to Bryce about it a little bit, as to whether they're going to get married. And I have been given not just no, but no on that question. But if it comes about, when you get out of your particular place you are now, the greatest thing you could have is to have a good home, to build a good home, to be in a good, solid, happy home. So it's best to have a nest. Now, would you live in a bird's nest? Not really the point. My observation of birds' nests is that they're very small. David can tell me if I'm wrong here, but I've never seen water pipes connected to a bird's nest or power lines. You probably don't bill any birds for services from DPU. It's not a place that is, you know, striking and inviting, a place you'd want to be. There's no observable roof, kind of like our house. There's no observable roof. It's just a bunch of straw and stuff. Grass are put together. But even with that, it's preferable for a bird. It's a better place. Again, birds leave the nest to do certain things. They come back. But I mean to leave the nest. It's better to be at the nest and not stray from it. Birds are sometimes used as illustrations of silliness. Hosea 7:11 talks about silly doves wandering around, flittering here and there, going to different nations and serving other gods, and they're silly. They just, you know, you've seen a dove. Think about a dove is a whole bunch of hunters can get in a field and have shotguns blasting for hours, and the doves will still fly over the field. Makes no sense at all. So they're used in times and places for silliness. That their minds are not all there that they need to be. Not to say that if you put 100 birds in the U.S. Senate, it wouldn't be better. But, you know, their minds are not what they're known for. They're fragile. Ephraim was like a silly dove without sense, straying from God. And birds that stray put themselves in greater danger. And men are likened to birds in this way. Men are, as Solomon says, like a man who wanders from his home. It's like the bird that strays from its nest. We are, by being foolish, wandering from what God's plan is for us. And this is common. The world always has a better way, the next thing, better plan. And the world's better plan is always a worse plan. And the Bible says we increase our sorrows when we wander from God. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, Psalm 32:10. The sorrows of those who run after other gods multiply, Psalm 16:4. Most kids, the quickest way to sorrow is to be disobedient to your parents. You gain the wrath of God, and also you don't have the guidance that your parents would give you. And men suffer allurement to the world, to their own destruction. It happens gradually. You don't realize it yet, and I know some of you are still in school, and you can't wait for school to be over. I was there with you. I know it. School. Here's how it goes. One day, you're in school, and you're going, when is school ever going to be over? And then as you go on, you get a little bit older, you're thinking about your driver's license. When am I ever going to get my driver's license? Will it ever come? Then you get your driver's license. Then you're thinking about, I cannot wait to get out of high school. Because you got a couple of years there. I cannot wait to get out of high school. So you get out of high school. And it just starts getting worse because then you find, if you're a young man, you find a girl. Or girl finds a nice young man. And oh, now I can date now, and we can go out, and I can drive, and I got a little job, and I can pay for dinner. And then you get married. And then you get bills. And then you get children, and then you get a longer time on the job than you ever spent at school. And it goes on like that. If that's all you got in this world, mm-mm. But the home, a family, walking with God, having the benefits of a home, that's what bolsters your life. Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In fact, sorrow is mentioned as a characteristic of those who do not know the Lord. Though they can be happy, but the sorrows, he bore our griefs carried our sorrows. That was part of redemption. So, thirdly, valuing our nest. The world will always try to shame us for our home and dangle before us that thing which we should be doing instead. We should be focusing on something else. But a home and a family is in itself a great gift from God. Now, sin messes anything up. The Bible says a man ought not even to pray if he's not treating his wife right, because God won't hear his prayers. God values the family. Children are to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God values that family. Home and family by itself is a great gift. It's to be guarded and protected from the destructiveness of sin. But home is a place of safety. Well, I wasn't old. I was playing my grandmother's house, grandparents' house, mom and granddad and grandma. And one of the playmates I was playing with, she was older than me. She's taller than me at the time. She's bigger than me, meaner than me. She ran up to the porch of the kitchen door and told on me, and I forget what I had done. I was framed, though, whatever it was. She was tattling on me. I went up and I hauled off and smacked her right in the side. Right there. I remember this. And like a man, I took off. I started around the house. She was young. She had a vocabulary that's what we call today adult language. She chased me all the way around the house. I went down the hill around the front of the house, back up, and ran right into my grandmother's arms. And she stopped that vicious girl from getting to me. If I'd have run to her house, her mother would have given me over. Home is a place of safety. It's a place where you're shielded. It's a place of acceptance and belonging. It's a place where you'll find love. With all of your faults, all of your characteristics, your habits, it's a place of firmness. It's not like you're at the top of a Ferris wheel and that person that just reaches up and grabs the seat you're in and start shaking at the very top. My dad would do that. I mean, I don't know why he got me on the Ferris wheel in the first place. I was too young to say no. But a home is a place of firmness. It's a place of purpose. It's a purpose in itself. When you're cooking food, food is not wasting time when it's sitting in the oven. It is getting ready to be served. A home is a preparing place to fulfill your purpose. It's a place of guidance. You go and you find guidance. We're to find our way from our parents, from the Word of God that they give us. Home is a place of sustenance and growth. Because home causes us to grow, that's how those ants can come up to you when you're growing up and they pinch your cheek and, oh, you're so big, like that. Because you're growing, you're sustained. You have things to wear and food to eat. It's a place of learning and training. Sequa once said that she got her sense of humor from me. Bless her heart. Since she's been away, I'll say this. She's forgotten some of it. Because I'll say things, her husband is completely, doesn't know what I'm talking about. And she's getting where she's a little bit confused. But she said, also, she got her music from me. And that scares me to death. She graduated from the stuff I taught her. I mean, I'm talking about I told her who the Beatles were and the Beach Boys. And she would come home with people that I never heard of afterwards. But you learn and you're trained. How hard life is without a home. Where do you sleep if you don't have a home? Where do you, and how do you sleep? If how do you eat without a home? How do you prepare meals? How do you keep clean without a home? How do you relax? How do you raise kids without a home? Or have a job? Or have a spouse? Stay warm or cool in the seasons? And stay safe without a home? Where do you keep your things? How do you have things without a home? So the comparison is like a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. The application would be then to don't wander from home ever. You'll graduate from one home, make your own if you're a kid. But what does Solomon want from us? Now, Solomon had, we're told, as far as the number of women, of wives and concubines, 1,000. Now that is an unsustainable home. You see each of these women every day, you know, we're talking about upward of 3 years. You can't, that's not a home. David had a problem too with far fewer wives. So what are we to do? We're to embrace the will of God and thrive therein. Don't ever be ashamed of what the world speaks of a home. We follow God in our home, that's a great thing. If our children know the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's a great thing. Two things. This is a verse that gets us back to basics. If you have strayed from the basics, this is a verse that shows us that if we're not on the foundation of God, we are wandering in areas that are dangerous, destructive, and not according to the will of God. And the second thing is, if you've got too much trouble in your life, if there are too many things in your life that are hassles, then the one main way to simplify your life and take out all the complications is to come to the foundation of the home, God's will, God's word. Because a lot of the problems that we have is when we stray from our place. When you get away from where you're supposed to be, that's when it's bad. When you take a wrong turn on the interstate and the only thing you can think of is I've got to get to the next exit and turn around and come back and get to where I was. Then I'll relax again. So, like a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. Let's pray. Lord, your word tells us that our destination is our eternal home. That we have a home made by God, eternal in the heavens. That Lord, when we are not content in you, when we wander, when we have wanderlust, when we are dissatisfied with your blessing, then we multiply our sorrows. Lord, I pray we would be more founded, more firm, more content in you. In Jesus' name, amen.